words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Resurrection. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from the Anglican Diocese of Pittsburgh, where I have the privilege of serving as a priest, and greetings from Trinity School for Ministry, where I have the privilege of teaching and forming Anglican pastors. It is a great joy to be with you today on this occasion of the institution of the Reverend Dr. Stephen Lake as your new rector. I've known Father Steve for almost 20 years now. I have to not look at him or I'll start laughing, actually. He is my dear friend and brother in the Lord. I've been blessed beyond words to know this man and his amazing wife, Christina, and their wonderful son, Donovan. But I've also been immensely blessed to work closely with Father Stephen in some major projects as fellow laborers in the church. The catechism that was given to Father Steve today was something that he and I worked together with others for countless hours in producing, and we continue to work on other projects as well. And I know the great blessing Father Steve has been to others through his years of faithful ministry in the Chicago area, how beloved he is there. So I'm a little jealous this morning. I don't get to see Father Steve very often, and I've never had him as my pastor, and you get to have him 24/7. Well, not 24/7. He does have to sleep, right? But I know you'll be greatly blessed by Steve and his ministry. I couldn't be more delighted and excited to see what the future holds for you here as the body of Christ in FLOMO. Am I allowed to call it that? Yeah. It's so delightful to see how many children there are in this church. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So today's a great day. And not only will we witness, have we witnessed the institution of Father Steve, which is pretty fantastic in itself. We'll have the joy of witnessing a whole passel of people getting confirmed by Bishop Allen, who you know is also a pretty wonderful guy. So today is a great day of blessing all around. Now, the institution of a rector doesn't happen very often, and so it's important today to attend to our scripture readings. As always, the readings we have in church, the lectionary readings, are how we should think about what's happening in the service. And in our readings today, there are two great related themes, two overarching principles that are front and center in this service and everything about our life together as the church. These are basic, foundational principles of the life of the church, whether this church or any other church, and we're called to live our life together before God according to these principles if we want our church to grow and to thrive in the gospel. So the first of these two principles is this: the Lord leads his people. The Lord leads his people. We see this first in our reading from Joshua chapter 1. Throughout Israel's sojourn in the wilderness, Joshua has risen through the ranks of Israel to become Moses' right-hand man. He's distinguished himself as a human leader in every respect, including militarily. And now that Moses has died, it's Joshua who emerges as one who will lead Israel into the promised land. Now, leadership is a quality prized by every human society. A good leader is worth their weight in gold. A good leader draws people together, inspires them with a shared vision, and assists them in working together to achieve that vision. A good leader makes everyone around them better, and Joshua clearly had these qualities. And Father Steve has these qualities. Father Steve's an excellent leader. But Scripture makes it clear that there is more, far more, to being a human leader of God's people than just to have these leadership traits. What is it that will guarantee Joshua's success as a leader? What is it that enables him to be strong and courageous in Israel's conquest of Canaan? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is because the Lord has promised to be with Joshua that he will achieve these things. Yes, he's called to be faithful, but it's the Lord's presence with Joshua that guarantees its success. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, if we've got our scripture ears on, this last bit should sound a little familiar. Because Jesus, whose name in Greek is Joshua, says something very similar to the apostles at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, as you might recall. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In the light of Scripture, how do we understand the leadership of God's people? The answer is clear. It is the Lord who is our leader. The future of God's people is secured because he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is the one to whom all authority in heaven and earth have been given. And yes, he's appointed leaders, as he appointed Joshua and his father Steve, has been appointed today. I thought I was going to preach this before your institution. But it is the Lord to whom we ultimately look and in whom we place our trust. And it's the Lord who will defend and bless and prosper the ministry of this church. Now, in case we're unclear on this, our psalm appointed for today is quite clear. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. But blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, why is it so important that we get this right? Why do the framers of the service of institution in our prayer book give us these particular passages? There's clearly something they want us to contemplate here about the church and leadership and how we understand these things. Well, first, human leaders are human, right? We are at times fearful, at other times frail, and at all times fallen. We need God to help us be strong and courageous because we know exactly how weak and fearful we can be. Every leader has their fears and weaknesses, and in the immortal words of the Princess Bride, anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. One of the great errors that the church too often commits is the failure to recognize this simple fact. Instead of remembering that the one true perfect leader of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ, we all too often demand that our leaders be Jesus, sinless and perfect and without blemish. And then when those leaders disappoint us, like Jesus, we crucify them. On the other hand, there are sometimes leaders in the church who mistakenly believe that their job is to be Jesus, and they often fall into the trap of thinking they are the center of the church's life, rather than depending upon the Lord and pointing people beyond themselves to Jesus. Such leaders often either fail in their arrogance, or burn out from the burden of trying to be the be-all and end-all for their people. Either way, we must always remember that the Lord is the leader of his people. Now, I'm happy to tell you that Father Steve will not anytime soon fall into the error of confusing himself with Jesus. If he does, feel free to call me or call Bishop Allen. On the other hand, if you're the kind of person inclined to put your leaders on a pedestal, I can assure you, last I checked, Father Steve has not yet walked on water or multiplied fishes and loaves, etc. What I do know is that he will faithfully serve this church as your loving shepherd and guide. I do know that he desires nothing more than to lead you into green pastures and still waters of the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I do know that he will need your constant prayers and support as he seeks to do that. Now, a second reason we need to remember that the Lord is our leader is that all of the church's gifts of leadership come from Jesus. And this brings us to our Ephesians passage. Here Paul tells us that grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The Lord Jesus gives to his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and St. Paul adds more to this list elsewhere in his letters, in order to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, it's important to note that each of these leadership gifts actually flows out of Jesus' own ongoing ministry as the ascended and risen head of his church. He is the original apostle who commissions those sent in his name. He is the true prophet whose word the preachers proclaim. He is the good news on the lips of evangelists. He is the great shepherd who pastors the pastors. And he is the true teacher whose truth teachers of the church pass on from one generation to the next. Through all these gifts and others which Jesus is continually giving to his church, he is continually growing and extending and strengthening the body of the church throughout the world. And his desire for every individual church like this one is that it would reflect his image and manifest his presence in its community. God's desire for resurrection is that your neighbors would know that Jesus is present in this place, that they would see the very image of Jesus Christ made visible through y'all. I have to use the plural there because it's the only way it works, right? And that they would personally encounter the Lord Jesus Christ when they walk through your doors. Now, what does this look like on the ground? Well, Father Steve has a lot of these gifts. He's a pretty amazing guy, but he doesn't have all of them. And even if he did, he wouldn't have time to exercise all of them. While his institution makes him the canonical and spiritual authority of this church under Bishop Allen, that doesn't make him the only leader in this church, as you all clearly are already demonstrating. And while he has been ordained to the ministry of word and sacrament as your priest, that doesn't make him the only minister in this congregation. Jesus calls and gifts every faithful member of his body for some kind of ministry, no matter how great or small. And it's Jesus, when each part is working properly, who makes the body grow. So the question for you to consider, for you all to consider today, is what gifts the Lord has given you so that you can contribute to the growth of this church, or if you're part of another church, whatever church you are a part of. Of course, the staff and church council are doing their part, as well as the clergy, but that alone won't make a church thrive. What about you? Have you taken your place in the body of Christ? Are you being a steward of the spiritual gifts that God has given you? Now, this question is important for all of us, but especially for those of you who will be confirmed today. No matter how old or young, it's never too late to begin discerning what gifts the Lord has given you and how he might be calling you to steward those gifts for the growth and strengthening of this church. The same, of course, is true for those of you who have been longtime members. I know Father Steve will take immense delight, perhaps no greater delight, in seeing you grow in your faith, become engaged in discipleship and ministry, and exercise the gifts the Lord has given you for the well-being of this church and for its witness to Jesus throughout the world. Now, everything we've considered so far has been under principle one, right? The Lord leads his principle. But in the rest of my time remaining, in the last few minutes here, I want to think about principle two. The Lord loves his people. In our gospel reading from John, Jesus tells his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you." And note right away the order of priority, just as all leadership in the church flows from Jesus' leadership, so all love in the church flows from Jesus' love. We are to love one another as he has loved us. This is the ordering of God's love. The love of God we are given in Jesus Christ frees us from ourselves so that we can give ourselves to others in love. Now, Jesus says this even more clearly earlier in John's gospel when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Now, earlier I spoke of Jesus' desire to grow and build up his body, the church, through different gifts of ministry. But friends, no amount of spiritual gifts can help a church that's lacking in the love of God. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing, says St. Paul. Friends, it's not our giftedness, but our love by which people will know that we are Jesus' disciples. If we love one another as Christ has loved us, and if we love our neighbors as Christ has loved us, then the quality of our love will grant credibility to our witness. And it'll be clear to those who don't know Jesus that we have something they desperately need. This world is desperate and dying for the love of God in Christ Jesus. God's love is the love that every human heart longs for, even when they don't know what they're seeking. St. Augustine said it best, our heart is restless until it rests in God. And if Resurrection Church in Flower Mound, Texas, can be just such a church, loving one another as Christ has loved you, filled with the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and people will be eager to join you and to lend their gifts to the building up of the body of Christ in love to the glory of God the Father. I know that my brother Steve, your new rector, desires nothing more than to see this church grow and thrive in just this way. And I'm confident that with your prayers and support and employing your gifts together in love, Resurrection will only continue to grow and flourish and bear fruit for the kingdom of God in this place. And so I want to conclude with a prayer and a blessing for you this day in the words of St. Paul. Speaking the truth in love, may you grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it will build itself up in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.